West Tigers fans, our team, they went to Tamworth. They had the lead. They let it slip again. For West Tigers fans, on another episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome into another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. Please give us a follow at West Life Pod on Instagram or Twitter. And check out westtigers.com.au if you want to find a link tree to all of our things, including our Patreon. Shout out to our Patreon members, the Discord. If you want to join the Discord, that's the way to do it. It's been firing with plenty of discussions around, obviously, footy, basketball. The guys were talking about the soccer this morning. Apparently, a lot happened this morning in the soccer as well. Not that I would have a clue about that. But, patreon.com/WestLife if you want to go to that. And shouts to all our YouTube legends tuning in again. If you're on the YouTube or if you can go to the YouTube, give us a subscribe. We cracked 1,000, subscribers. That's probably the word for it. Last week, so thank you to all 1,000, at least 1,004 or something at the moment. So I'll bring in my co-host who helped me get the numbers up to that. As 1,000 followers on the YouTube, how good?
Yeah, g'day Josh, g'day everyone watching and listening. Yeah, I'm absolutely stoked that the channel's gotten that many subscribers, especially in such a reasonably short span of time. So yeah, thank you to everyone who's helped contribute to help us get to that point.
Absolutely. Love yous all. Righto, let's get... Before we do that, shouts to our friends at Mobile Corp. So Mobile Corp, they're a proud sponsor of the West Life Podcast again this year. The business in its early days was a major sponsor of the Balmain Tigers. For all your business IT needs from cloud-based telephony, that word gets me every time. Security, desktop support, or anything Microsoft, reach out to Mobile Corp through their website, mobilecorp.com.au, and mention you're a listener. Mention you're a listener of the West Life Podcast. Love at Mobile Corp. Righto. Bit of news, West Tigers wise. So it was.
Josh, you've just muted yourself, mate.
Well, can you hear me okay now?
Your audio sounds a little different, but yeah, I can hear you. I think we might be having some technical difficulties, people.
Sorry, Az, you got me now?
Yeah, yep, now I gotcha. And I think I might have lost you again. And now you're muted again.
There we go. Sorry, I think my mic, beloved mic that I've had for 5 years, I think it's starting to shit the bed with a wire somewhere or something. But you can hear me loud and clear now, Az?
Yep, I got you now.
What are we, 4 minutes in? And D Trizzy, our YouTube member, this is West Tigers, like, yep, it's very apt, isn't it, for this game. So Brighton's lawyers, they have confirmed, or the club has confirmed, Brighton's lawyers won't be a sponsor next year, and a very classy article and quotes from Shane Richardson on the West Tigers website on this one, as the said person who is in charge of Brighton's lawyers. Let's not use him by name because we don't really want to mention him or go down that rabbit hole again. But he's gone around to his friends in the media and kind of said a few things not so nice about the club. But Richo has been the bigger man and came out and said and thanked Brighton's for their support over the last few years. So he came out looking a little bit better in this one, I think.
Yeah, I think this announcement was 100% expected. I don't think we were expecting Brighton's to hang around much after this year. I think the relationship with the club had just become a little bit too frayed and tenuous potentially. So, I mean, it was a really classy thank you from Shane. Obviously, Brighton's have been our major sponsor for, I think it was 10 years all up, including this year. So it's quite a long time to have a major sponsor. You don't get too many major sponsors around the comp last that long. I think probably the main one you could say would be longer would be Steggles with the Roosters, who are also wrapping up. But yeah, Brighton's, they've been good to us. And yep, thank you for their commitment to the club. And I think they sponsor a few other clubs, so maybe it's a good thing that they're heading on to other pastures.
I didn't realize the Roosters are losing Steggles. That might be the best sponsor for a club there is.
Yeah, they've I think I remember reading something on the socials earlier this year saying that Steggles were finishing up at the end of this season.
Yeah, that's a shame. Poor Roosters, they can never catch a break, can they?
They can go KFC instead.
Oh yeah. That well they now we're McDonald's now, aren't we? We were KFC, but I think we have McDonald's now. So I think KFC, I read a stat the other day. I think basically KFC sponsors 4 clubs. McDonald's has 9 or something now. So that a bit of a war between the Colonel and Ronald McDonald on how many rugby league clubs.
I think it's a little different when you're not like a major sponsor. If you're only like a back of jersey or a short sponsor, you don't have as much of a commitment to the team. And obviously those two fast food giants enjoy getting their name and their presence out in the community. So why not?
Right, let's talk about the game on the weekend, 20-14, Scully Park, Tamworth, the last game the West Tigers, or last home game the West Tigers will ever play in Tamworth. And unfortunately, it's exactly how it started, with the Knights scoring, basically the Tigers losing a lead. I'm pretty sure the first one was Sean Kenny Dow winning on the buzzer, basically, wasn't it? So I guess this one was over a little bit earlier, but the Knights coming from behind to beat the Tigers. So we leave Tamworth away. We went in there as well. As you got any main takeaways from this game before we go try by try? I don't have any clips for the tries. So what are your main takeaways from this one?
Yeah, I think we're just lacking a little bit of polish overall in certain areas. Obviously, we're still making a few errors, sometimes not making the right decisions at certain times. Players are trying their hearts out, and that's really obvious. But yeah, it's just a little bit of a lack of polish in execution, I think, is probably the main thing that we've still got to work on. But we're a team that's been struggling for a while, so things like that will come in time.
Obviously, the big talking point, a couple of big talking points out of it, we'll go on those first. So just the Isaiah Papali'i trip. So he's been handed a grade 2, is that right, Az, for his trip?
That's correct, yep.
It was a penalty in the game, and Knights fans blowing up that it wasn't a sin bin. I saw someone had the take today that there should have been a sin bin purely because the Knights player would have scored. I don't buy into that, but look, if he was sin binned, I don't think I would have been complaining about it. Az, what are your thoughts on this?
My issue with this is how they distinguish between a grade 1 tripping offence and a grade 2 tripping offence. Because we've seen a lot of other trips so far this season that have only been fines. I can think of 2 examples off the top of my head. Literally, Stephen Crichton, I think it was, this weekend against the Bulldogs, against the Panthers, a grade 1 trip. And James Tedesco, I think it was, a few weeks ago against Harry Grant when the Roosters hosted Melbourne, and that was also a grade 1. So in my opinion, a trip is a trip, and there's not necessarily a grade of severity to it. So I'm very interested to know how they can get a grade 1 or a grade 2 trip in tripping offense. I mean, if there was such a thing as a grade 3, I could probably understand that, like being something incredibly severe. Obviously, you don't want whatever damage has happened to a player to come into consideration when determining the grading or a punishment for a certain offense. But yeah, it's a really strange one. I honestly, I did say in our Discord, though, as soon as it happened, we will be missing Isaiah next week. But that was also not realizing that there hadn't been a single trip so far this season that was actually suspended, because so far every trip this year has been a fine. And the fact that this one somehow is the first one to cop a suspension seems a little bit odd to me.
Yeah, I'm going to refer a little bit to basketball, as I do quite often, and people get a little bit annoyed at it. But obviously, as you've been following the NBA playoffs at the moment, and a lot of people were blowing up about Jamal Murray, my guy for the Denver Nuggets, got a $100,000 fine for throwing a heat pack in disgust after he didn't like a referee's call in one of the games. And a lot of people were saying he should be suspended in that one. The reason I bring this up is I'm all for the league to start just make these, unless it's a super, super dangerous, careless or something. Like, can we go at the point now, these players earn so much money, can we start doing just significant financial, and don't make it an option, because then you'll get like Ryan Madison, who will be like, I'm just going to sit out. Like, I want my money. Just say, like, if something, maybe up to a grade two or something, make it like a percentage. I don't know. I haven't really done the maths on this. A 1% of your salary, or I guess one week equals what of a year? Equals 2% of the year. So do you do, yeah, maybe 1%, which equals about half a week's pay or something. Like something that, rather than, because I'm just sick of the NRL this year is already in a bit of a crisis with injuries. Like, obviously, we lost Cleary, Turbo. Who else is out at the moment? Moses. Big, big names not in the game already without injury. We seem to be the only real code in the world that just has, like, constantly has players sitting. And it ruins the product. Like, we want these players to be playing. And I get it if it's, like, they're trying to do player safety and stuff, but can we just make them, unless it's a super, super dangerous, like the hip drop as well, like, just, I don't know, make it money fines. What do you think, Az? Because I want to see players play, and it's not just a West Tigers thing. Like, you feel for fans of some fan bases, some more than others, let's not name any, Parramatta Eels, that you do feel sorry for, because you want, today we go and pay money to go watch our favorite players play. And if they're not playing because of, oh, his arm bounced up and like hit someone in the face. Now, I don't know. What do you reckon, Az? I've rambled on a bit about this, but I want to see the guys on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there needs to be some sort of, I guess maybe middle ground for how they determine punishments, how they look at player safety, because obviously I think there are some ways at the moment where they're looking at going a little bit too far in the wrong direction when it comes to player safety. Safety, for example, the short banning massive kick returns, that would hurt a lot of teams, and obviously I think would drastically affect the product of the game. And I'm going to use another comparison, Josh, like you. I'll say the NRLW. That competition is, what, a third of the size of the NRL competition, roughly? Yep. The female players, I believe they're charged the same penalties despite earning considerably less for,
yeah, that's crazy,
offenses that are fined. And then you've also got to look at suspensions. A one-week suspension for the NRL, which basically, if you include finals, is a 31-week comp. So one part of 31 is a lot less extreme than a female suspension, which is at the moment an 11-week competition. So it's quite bad
harsher.
When you've got, like, yeah, it's a lot harsher for the women because their competition is considerably shorter and they're getting paid a lot less. So I feel like in both instances, they need to find ways around this to kind of make things a little bit better, a little bit fairer. Especially while the women still aren't earning as much as the men. And I know the women's salary cap is gradually increasing, but in 3-4 years' time, it's still not going to even hold a candle to what a men's team salary cap is.
Chase Supreme on YouTube says a 20K fine sounds good. Never thought of that as an option. Look, I wouldn't make it a hard. You're going to go a percentage because you feel sorry. A fringe footballer is on, I think, 150K is the minimum wage in the footy. So if you find someone 20K and they're on 150K, that's going to hurt. Whereas
that's a
someone
couple of months worth of their salary, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if Daly Cherry Evans gets a 20K fine, like he's on 1.2K, like it's only... I think it's going to be a percentage-wise. I'd love to see his salaries, not to harp on US sports again, but their sport, I think European sport as well. I'm not sure about... I don't follow soccer, but I've said it before. Salaries, just make all the salaries. And there's a salary cap story broken tonight about third party with Caleb Ponga. So make all the salaries public, firstly, but just make it like a 1%. I mean, look, if you don't want to say the salary, just go, oh, this was a grade one, so he loses a 1% salary fine, and you don't name how much the fine is. Like, we don't need to know how big the fine is that they've copped, really. Just say, oh, it's a grade one, it's a 1% salary cut for that person. Rather than you're going to sit out next week for your team, and all the kids that were going to go watch that player play next week, they have to miss out on watching your player play. It's got to be a solution, as you said, as. Right, so on to Isaiah Papali in this one as well. So scored the first try for us, as. What are your, thoughts on the try for Papa and the 15th minute?
Yeah, I was really excited going into when Isaiah scored this. I wasn't expecting us to get on the board so quickly. Especially because of the fact that it was another one of those games where we were well and truly in the grind at first. Obviously, we copped a penalty against us on the first set that the Knights had, which was the second set of the game. And from there, it looked like we were going to start the game and really well and truly stay on the back foot for quite a long time. So the fact that we were able to get through that period of the game, continually repel them from our line, eventually get the ball back, head down the other end and score, I thought was a really promising start to the game.
And credit to Jaden Sullivan too, obviously setting that one up. It's a nice little jink on the last tackle. So obviously we'll talk about players individually when we get to the player ratings, but that, yeah, nice to see a good little highlight from Jaden Sullivan. For the first time, I believe. I don't think he really, I can't think off the top of my head, a highlight play from Jaden Sullivan this season. So I think that hopefully will bring a bit of confidence to him moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Especially the fact that he's got at least 3 more games to play, most likely, before Aiden Caesar comes back and the team gets another look at. But yeah, I'd have to say Jaden had, attacking wise, a really solid game, and I was quite happy to see him play to the ability that we know that he has.
In the 27th minute, the Knights, they crack it with Greg Marzu. Thank you, Az. What are your thoughts on that one, Az? It was a shame because I felt like in terms of the grind, we're holding them out quite nicely. And then, as always, it just cracks.
Yeah, Jareem going to the sin bin just before this really cost us, I think. We were repelling them really well on our line, despite them making as many easy meters as they seem to be. And I think this one came from a scrum, if I'm not mistaken. They just had a really good move out to the side where Charlie Staines would have been defending because he had gone back to fullback to take the place of Jareem. They just had us for numbers way too easily.
Yeah, when it's 13 on 12, I mean, when we have the ball 13 on 12, doesn't seem to work out that way. But yeah, it's just as soon as things start to get jumbled, the thing in with this team and the reason why we get so annoyed with, we might as well talk about the Appy Coruscant no try because that was not long before this. Was it the set before this? Wasn't long before this. So, but anyway, the Appy, because it could have been 12-0. So the Appy no try What are your thoughts on that, Az? Now, look, we are biased with that one, but I thought that he, when he jinks and goes towards the line, he literally goes straight into a Knights defender. So once he's into a Knights defender, who some people say he's offside, I'll get your opinion on that as well, Az, but he's gone straight into a Knights defender. Then the players start tackling him and then kind of Twally gets stuck in it. What are your thoughts on that one, Az?
Yeah, look at the result of the game. So we lost the game by 6. That's the same amount of points that that try would have scored for us because it was under the post. So easy peasy conversion. And then if you look at the end of the game, if the game hypothetically plays out the exact same way and we have that near sideline conversion to try and take the lead with not long left in the game, we take our time with that. Chances are maybe it goes over, maybe it doesn't, who knows. But this no try call basically, in my opinion, cost us the game. I do agree with what you said. It did look live like Appy had sort of tried to go around Twal, because you see a lot of tries where, and the ones that are the ones that get taken away, where they basically burrow through the player's legs. He didn't burrow through Twal's legs, and that's what frustrated me about it. And it looked like the Knights player, I can't remember which one it was, kind of plays off it a little bit and tries to look like he's going around Twal, but gets caught in the way that Twal is moving to get out of the ruck. And I think the frustrating part about that is there were still 4 players trying to hold Appy out, and he still manages to get the ball down. Like, that was an insane piece of work from Appy, especially because the worst spot on the field to try and get that burrow over try is right under the posts, because you've got however many players are there defending between the posts, but you've also got the posts themselves, which act as another defender, or more, another 2 defenders, because they compress the players between them. So it's a lot harder to get those sort of dummy half barge over tries from there. And the fact that Appy managed to do it, I think it was a disgrace that this try got taken off us, or technically not taken off us, because it wasn't even awarded to begin with. But yeah, we can be a bit biased, but I've seen worse tries than that with sort of similar looking circumstances be awarded. And that's the frustrating part, is the lack of consistency.
The inconsistency, for sure. The thing that's annoying too is if Appy doesn't get the ball down, the ref probably says held up and then sends him back out to play the ball on the 10-meter line. Now, we might not have scored after that, but we wouldn't have given away a penalty. So the annoying thing is checking a try ends up being a penalty the other way. And then, of course, yeah, we lose all that momentum as well. So look, we might not have scored. Might not have scored off. Just one of those sliding doors moments, as I like to say. So, and obviously the Dream Buller strip that came after that, annoying. Like I said, the defense seemed to be pretty good. All of a sudden, one crack, one break in the right edge, which is like led to the runaway. And Buller did so well to reel him in and stop it. And the ball just pops out. Now, I rewatched it, and people call me crazy for this. I'm not saying it wasn't a rake, but I don't think Buller meant to strip the ball out. I think he just kind of is wrapping the player up and kind of moves his arm out, and the ball kind of comes with it. I don't see what logic Buller would have to strip the ball out. He knows that he can't do that. I feel like he just moves his arm to kind of release, and the ball came with it. I don't know, Az. Am I being ridiculous? Let me know in the comments if I'm being ridiculous.
I don't think you're being ridiculous. I just think this is the sort of challenge that almost always goes the same way that the referee called it, just because of how it looks. No matter what Buller was trying to do, I think that one goes against us regardless because of the way the Knights player plays it off. And I think it was a very silly challenge. I think in 2 of the 3 sets after this happened, after we had lost our challenge, there was a time where using our challenge could have come in really handy. And then I think probably another 2 or 3 times in the second half, particularly in the last 10 minutes of the second half, Our challenge would have come in handy as well. And it's just one of those situations where you're probably better off just biting the bullet and accepting the hand that you've been dealt. I get maybe that it was potentially to try and slow things down a little bit, but you lose the player and you lose your challenge. And with still more than half the game to go, you can't go, like, yeah, you're not going to get that one go your way.
Kim said, no, Josh, it was a professional founder, sin bin every day of the week. Just stupid. Look, I get accepting that it's a strip, of course it's a professional foul, but I don't think the baller actually tried to strip it. I think it was just unfortunate. He moved his arm away and the ball player had a loose hold of it and it kind of came with his arm. He doesn't actually try and strip it out. Obviously people in audio won't see me move my arms here, but he kind of moves his arm back and it kind of rubs the ball out, so to speak. So
he kind of strips it without intending to strip it because of where his hand is, and he's trying to obviously get his hand back out of the way so he can get out of the player's way to get up and allow them to play the ball eventually. Just because of where the hand ends up, but he rakes it out without really intending to, and that's the unfortunate part.
Ashton said on the Facebook, I think Buller did try and strip and went back, and the tackle was not complete. Ref did not call held BS penalty. When does stripping the ball equate to a sin bin? So, yeah, mixed opinions on that one. Righto. So, right on the cusp of halftime, as we had a 6-4 lead. Looking off with a sin bin, I thought going into halftime, having a lead 6-4 after that isn't too bad. But, of course, death, taxes, and the West Tigers conceding a try 5 minutes before halftime. Absolute killer, literally on the bell. And again, a grubber through our left edge got us again, just like it did against the Bulldogs last week.
Yeah, any chance we had of having any sort of momentum going into halftime was cruelly ripped away from us here. I'm pretty sure Buller had been back on for maybe a minute, maybe not even a minute. And it was just one of those, throw the ball around, see what they can do. Eventually, they spread us enough and caused enough of a hole in our defense for there to be a little bit of a gap over that side with a nice little kick and an easy try in the end.
Yeah, very frustrating. So we went into the break 8-6. Luckily, Gagai missed the first couple of kicks. So again, 8-6, not too bad. But yeah, second half, things got away from us. The two tries, the second of those, the Bradman Best one, where he just shoves off Naden and Jaden Sullivan, as that looked like an 18-year-old playing against 15-year-olds.
Yeah, no, they made that one look incredibly easy.
So, I mean, as a Blues fan, it makes me feel good about Bradman Best. But, yeah, my God, I mean, he's a great player. Someone said in the comments there, we played against two Origin centers. So it was always going to be a tough task. But, man, like, it was just one of those tackles that, yeah, like, there was nothing on and they just let him through and the game just slipped from us. As soon as that happened, just disappointing. It's just those moments with this team is we grind well, the forwards are doing well, this happens, and then literally there's a crack or a chink in the chain and it just, it's all over. So Shane on YouTube said, honestly, guys, love your passion. We have to start getting realistic about those results. We've been robbed plenty of times. We weren't robbed on Saturday. I don't think we've used the word robbed or blamed. I mean, as said before, that the Appy no try cost us the game, but you more in the context that had it gone our way or had it been a try, we would have won. I don't think you're necessarily saying we were robbed or anything. Obviously, the Knights, the second half, they came out firing. The thing about this team, people every week, they say that we're bagging out the officials. You should be good enough to beat the other team without a friendly whistle. And the thing is, we know we're not. So it's extra frustrating because one decision can be the difference between winning and losing of us. We're not good enough to overcome that most of the time. So it's extra frustrating. And hopefully we do get to the stage where we can have a no try situation, and we're too good anyway. We end up scoring after it.
Before you go on, Josh, I'm just going to say what I was saying to my dad and my brother earlier this evening. Basically, the NRL claim they want an even competition where every team basically has as much chance of any other team of winning a game. We don't have that at the moment because of this subconscious bias towards the teams that have been good for quite some time. The teams that haven't been good for some time, for example, the Tigers, and until maybe a couple of years ago, even the Knights, we don't get those calls that go our way. So a 50-50 call may have about a 20% chance of going our way. And when you're dealing with a bias that is firmly working against you, it's a lot harder to overcome whatever, because to get better, to improve, you've not only got to overcome that unconscious bias or subconscious bias, I should say, but you've also got to deal with whatever issues you've been having off field, whatever else, other issues you're having on field, injury luck, everything like that. So it just adds to what you've got to try and overcome to get better. And that's where our problem is, because a lot of those calls that should be 50-50 don't end up going against us because we haven't been a good team for some time. That's the issue. That's what we're struggling with, because we've got so much to work on already that we are doing a good job of working on, both on and off field this year. And then just these extra on field stuff, it just adds up.
100%. Then Brandon W there in the YouTube was so, he agrees with you so much that he wrote his whole comment in caps lock, spot on, as thanks, unconscious Brandon. Bias. Let's go to player ratings. So Benji Marshall's coaching out of 10. Look, the Towers were all around the 6, 7, 8. There's a few starting to slip a little bit south, a bit of frustration from the fans as towards Benji.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. I don't think the frustration should really be with Benji at the moment. Benji's not out on the field. He's not the one who's making errors. He's not the one who's not getting the 1%ers right. It's on the players, that particular issue. I'm still confident that Benji's the man to turn this around. Whenever we look at these Benji ratings, I look at more so the long term, not necessarily just from the game.
Righto, on to player ratings. So Isaiah Papali'i, he got the number one vote with 96%. Second, Dream Buller with 90%, but then a fairly big gap to Jaden Sullivan. Credit to Jaden Sullivan getting tied third with Samuela Fainu as.
Yeah, it's probably about what I expected. Isaiah Papali'i, absolutely sensational game. It's a shame he's going to be missing from the next one. Buller had a lot of great moments and some not great moments, but you're probably going to get that with your young players. So I thought he played quite well. And like you said, yeah, Jaden Sullivan, it's really good to see him having a strong performance and leaving a bit more of a mark on the team than he had in his first few games as a Tiger.
Isaiah Papali'i, obviously, it sucks he's suspended, because literally I think this might have been his best game at the West Tigers so far. I can't think off the top of my head a better game, but the move to lock seemed to help a little bit. They obviously had to shuffle a bit after the injury, but I don't know, headgear, we'll chat in the Discord about it, as, and you think your theory with the headgear is you thought it was keeping his long hair dry in the rain. So I suggested, is it actually a shower cap? Was Isaiah probably playing with a shower cap? It wasn't a headgear. It was to keep his head dry instead. But I don't know. Headgear probably do it every week, because it seemed to work, because he was sensational.
It's honestly a shame we didn't get to see him at lock for more of the game, because he actually looked like he was playing really well there. We'll probably get to it a little bit more when we get to the stats, but he missed a few tackles, and I think that's probably the issue he has is just a little bit of a defensive lapse, I guess, every now and then. But yeah, overall, it was an absolutely sensational game from him. Just the injuries to the team as well cost us a fair bit, losing one of our backs when we didn't have any on the bench, leading to a reshuffle, which sent Isaiah straight back to the second row. And then we lost one of our second rowers, and we were kind of in a little bit of trouble from there because we only had two players on the bench for the entirety of the second half. But yeah, it was a brilliant game from Isaiah. And if I had to think of a game where he played maybe not better, because I would have to agree that that was his best game for the Tigers, I'd probably be leaning towards the game in Newcastle last year, where he had a really, really strong game that day. That was the one, if you remember, where we got ripped off a try in the first set because it was deemed a knock-on when it didn't look like it actually went forward off Buller, I think it might have been. So that was another one that, another controversial one that cost us. But anyway, we move on.
We move on, as always. By far the man who had the most downvotes, Brent Naden. Yeah, it's no sugarcoating this one. He had a bit of a Barry Crocker, as.
Yeah, unfortunately, not Nato's best game, but I think that's probably more by circumstance. The fact that he had to go back into the centres, I think, is what hurt him there. If he stayed on the wing, I have a feeling he has a much better game, like his game against the Dogs, which I thought was really, really solid. If he was on the wing, I think he would have gone a lot better. But it seems like centre may not be the best position for him, especially with the defensive issues that he has as well.
Rockstar man, Brockhull, he said he had a bad cut, referring to Isaiah Publi, he has a bad cut in his head. So the headgear was protect the cut, right? That makes sense.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So it wasn't because his hair was going to get wet, as. How dare you suggest that? Whereas actually,
right, he's just one of those players with longer hair, and it was a bit of a wet start to the game. I thought, I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Right, so moving on to, if anyone hasn't noticed, I'm battling a flu at the moment, but 3-2-1, as, who have you got this week?
So I gave my 3 to Isaiah Papali'i, I think, surprising absolutely nobody. He had like I said, we've talked about him already, he's had a really, really great game. I gave my 2 to Alex Twal. I didn't think I'd end up giving points to a player off the bench, but Twal, I thought, particularly defensively, especially in the second half, was a big reason why the Knights didn't manage to score any more points after they got to the 20-point mark. I thought Twal in particular, the great wall of Twal is back. He missed either 0 or 1 tackles, and I think he almost made a team high amount of tackles, and coming off the bench, I think, is quite sensational. So yep, I gave 2 to Twal, and I gave my 1 to, who is that there? Is that Buller?
Yeah.
Yep, that is Buller. I probably might have given Buller my 2, if not for a few moments where I thought he probably would want them back. For example, I think it might have been at some point in the second half, he let the ball bounce and then grabbed it, but then kind of bumped it back to a player behind him. I think it might have been Charlie. And we ended up conceding a dropout off that because Charlie didn't get the ball and had to dive on it and plant it in the in goal to prevent a try being scored. And there were just a few other moments where I think if he had his time back, he'd think about how he would attack those instead. And yeah, but still, I think a really solid game.
Yeah, I gave Buller, obviously Papa 1, you can't not give it to Papa. Buller 2, yeah, that brain melt, I would have marked it down, but literally that dropout, he catches it and runs away with the ball. So he kind of...
It was a really good way of making up for it, wasn't it?
Yeah, he taketh, he giveth, Dream Buller. So, yeah, look, he was my second best in this one. I tend to do mine after I do the stats, and we'll get into the stats next. But statistically, he was really good, high work rate. Yeah, I know he had the sin bin. I mean, look, when you lose, it's your second and third best players aren't going to be, standouts, are they? We're picking the 3 best players in a losing team. So Samuel Afenu for me, 3. I mean, I love this he's fast becoming one of my favorites. I'm not going to declare a favorite because they always leave and break my heart. But yeah, I unfortunately Josh Stradamus or Barnett, what do I call it? Barnett Stradamus. I got, if you caught Wednesday's show, my multi was Luke Garner to score, James Tedesco to score, and Fainu to score. And damn it, he let me down because Teddy and Garner both scored. So, have we lost?
Still there? Stats? No, I'm still here. I don't know why, but something went funny with my camera picture when I went full screen a little bit before. But yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I was worried there. I thought mine had chat myself, but
gotta love technology. Can't live with it. Can't
yeah,
live without
look,
it.
I know it happens every week, but these streams, they're yeah, they take a lot of CPU and internet data to run these. So it's either we record them and I cut out our shit parts, or you just take us raw and live, and yeah, we have our little technical issues in between. So what do you want, guys? Let us know. podcast@westlife.com. Should we do them live? And look, I love doing them live as well. Like, we've got 60 people backing up again, watching us right now as well, joining in despite the team losing 5 in a row. So if you can bear with us with an occasional F up, yeah, the live, it's worth it in the end, I think. But righto, moving on. Kim Ranger said, life is best. Love it. Good on you, Kim. Kim's for almost since the start of our YouTube channel, been a loyal listener slash viewer. And so it's awesome seeing all the regular names popping up too, and some new ones popping in as well. So if you're listening to this on delay, yeah, I promise you enjoy the F ups technical wise. If you're joining in the fun live and you can chat to everyone live while we're happening. But as what do you got for stats span this week?
So there's obviously been a bit of negativity around the fact that we've just lost our fifth straight game, and that things aren't going, or is it six now? Either five or six. And things aren't going all that great on field. But I've obviously been guilty of that myself. I can get a little bit emotional after Tigers losses, and I can feel a little bit down and disheartened. But I wanted to take a bit of a look tonight at a couple of areas where we have made improvements from 2023 to this year. Obviously, I'm looking at average stats across the entirety of the competition amongst all the teams. So I've found three errors made. 2023, we were averaging 11.4 per game, which was the third worst. So far this year, we're averaging 9, which is the second best. So that's a massive improvement there. Handling errors is a slightly different, distinction without a difference, maybe. 2023, we were averaging 10 per game. Obviously, we had a lot of games early in the season where errors were what was costing us from winning games and scoring tries and things of that nature, and to an extent still is. But in 2023, we were averaging 10 per game, which was the worst amongst all 17 teams. This year so far, we're averaging 9, which is the fifth best amongst all teams. And
well,
for a little bit
less.
Yeah, and it's quite the difference. Like, this probably explains the quality of the competition at the moment with all the injuries and everything. But I had a look at what if there was a team or the closest team to us or to what we were at the end of last year, and I found Parramatta this year averaging exactly the same as we were by the end of 2023. So that's 10 per game so far this season. And they're smack bang in the middle. They're ninth best or ninth worst, whatever you want to call it. So the fact that there are a lot of teams who are averaging more, and I can pull them up pretty quickly. So this year, the worst is the Dragons at 12.5 per game. So wow. 10 per game last year was the worst. So far this year, it's 12.5. And one more
Dragons,
department. Sorry?
I was just going to say, the Dragons aren't doing too bad.
No. The current second place team, the Panthers, their highest here, I think, Cowboys, I think, have dropped out of the eight, and Roosters, I think, are maybe just outside the top four. So the Panthers are fifth worst for handling errors so far this year, and they're making 11 per game. It's a bit of a weird one. And the last one I wanted to take a look at was missed tackles. 2023, we were averaging 33 per game, which was the fourth worst. 2024 so far, we're averaging 30.8, which is the seventh best. So there's three areas there where we were really struggling last year, and we've made, I'd say, in all three, including handling errors, significant strides in all three departments.
Which sucks because like scoring points, hopefully scoring points comes on the back of that, because you obviously can't score points if you're making errors. So we need to score more points. That's the main issue at the moment. So fingers crossed it can come.
Once we get that down, we'll be a much better team. Obviously, we've got a lot of players coming next year to look forward to. Obviously, Jerome Luai has the ability to create out of thin air. Sunia Taruva, one of his teammates currently, is an excellent finisher and can finish off a lot of the tries that he puts on. There is a lot to look forward to. We've just got to get through this little period first.
It seems like we're 99% there. Like, I know it doesn't look like it when we're losing 90% of our games, but it's just that last 1%. Like, we go to set up a try, like one that comes to mind is when we played the Raiders and Charlie Staines just wasn't quite in the right spot from a Naden pass, and if he scores in the corner, we'd probably win. It's just that one crisp. And when I was watching the Roosters yesterday and some of the tries that they scored, like the risk in some of the play, but they just went bang, bang, bang. It's just the players are just able to do different plays, just ad lib football. It was, as much as I don't like the Roosters, I mean, some of those tries were unbelievable. And it seems like if we try, we usually would do 4 out of 5 of those things, and then the last one, like,
the way that Roosters game started, I was genuinely worried that they were going to outscore the clock by the end of the game and put more than 80 points on the Warriors. They looked like they were absolutely on fire.
Yeah, and they get David Fifita next year. Stats from this game, so 48% possession for us. Completion rates, as said, so 82%, 32 of 39. The Knights were better, 36 of 42, so three extra sets for the Knights there. Look, it's never good. You need more ball to score more tries, I guess. Run meter-wise, there's an extra few hundred meters for the Knights there. My break's about the same, 4 to 5 in their favor. Tackle breaks, an extra 11 for them. What else we got? Offloads, 6 to 5. On the offloads, I know it was wet, but... I guess it was wet, but like, I don't know. I want to see more second phase footy from the guys. And it is hard. Benji's trying to tell them to ease up. But towards the end of the game, when we're down 2 tries, like, surely once time you need points and need them fast, just get the ball away. And someone mentioned earlier, I've still got Shawnee Blaw as my profile pick. Like, that's the main thing I think we miss from him, is watching him play for the Storm. He literally gets the ball away almost every time he runs the ball up. He gets it away back to someone, and it just creates the Storm go bang, 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 second phase, either a try or a line break or something.
Yeah, it's one of those tricky ones, because obviously in the rain, you've got to be a little bit more careful. In the wet, obviously, the ball's a lot harder to handle. I know they've got the sticky spray, and Twol committed the one-on-one steal of the sticky spray during the game, which was quite a funny sight to see.
Yeah, I missed that live.
Yeah, I missed it live too. But I still think that even with that, you've got to be a lot more careful in the rain, because you don't want to hand the ball over. But I will say, the thing that disappointed me the most about that final set of the game, when we were down by 6 with, I think it was, what, just over a minute left on the clock after the missed conversion, it we didn't throw the ball around in that set. And I think when they're down to 12 on the field, that's the time you want to try and throw the ball around. You don't want to run one out plays because you're not going to make it that far. Because I think it was the first three tackles we had made maybe 15 to 20 meters. And then we had too much work to do in the last couple of tackles of the set. And that was when they tried to throw it around. And then that was when they made the error that lost us the game because the Knights got the ball back and just held on to it.
Yeah. No, it's at some point late in the game, you're waiting for like, okay, guys, like let's start trying some things now. And yeah, it just didn't. A good point here from Trevor on the Facebook. He said, once the boys gel and everything, they pay off, including set plays and defensive efforts. Our season isn't a loss. Things will turn around. Yeah, that's a good point. As the players get used to playing with each other, they'll be more confident to do that things. But just simple offloads, second phase, it's essentially getting an extra tackle. So if it's dry next, is it meant to be dry at Magic Round this week? I hope they can.
I think there is a chance of some rain, which is a little bit concerning when we play the last of 9 games.
So we'll see. Yeah, come Sunday night, I guess. But missed tackles, 38 for us, 27. Yeah, not good. The errors, 10 to 9. So both teams, the Knights weren't, I think they were that good in this game. It's just, like I said, a couple of moments. It's just, we let it slip. Some of the stats leaders in this one. So Dream Buller, 250 meters in this one. Brett Naden, 163. Isaiah Publi, 152. Post-contact meters, Dream Buller was the leader in this one, 59. Publi, the only person with 2 line breaks. Hit-ups, most for Steph with 14. Tackle breaks was Papa again, 8 tackle breaks. Offloads, 2 for Ollum and Big Red. Tackle-wise, you said it before, as Twally, 42-1. How many minutes did he play, Twally?
50-something, I think. If you want to read the rest of those, I can find it.
Yeah, Appy, 40 with 6 missed, and Papa, 36 with 4 missed. But yeah, anything to add, as we get into the couple of comments from Benji Marshall in the press conference?
Twal played 53 minutes, so that's not that far off a tackle a minute. So coming off the bench, I think that is extremely impressive.
Righto, here's some comments from Benji in the press conference after this one.
Lack of concentration. I thought our kick chase in the second half was poor, especially on our right edge. Bradman Best gave us a bit of a bath there. So we need to be better there. But again, like, we'll have to go back and you got to turn up next week again and be better. And at the moment, we're just not learning from some of those mistakes, which has been frustrating and disappointing. But yeah, we'll have to be better next week.
Happy, will we see more of those short goal line dropouts through the middle for Jareen Buller, because it worked pretty well, obviously?
No comment.
Don't want to give too much.
That's right.
That's a thing too. Yeah, someone said it in the commentary. Why wouldn't you? We tried, like, we got another dropout. We had to do another dropout, and they didn't try that again. It seemed to work pretty well. I still like doing that in Oztag, because in Oztag, if you have a consider kickoff past your try line, it's a dropout. So I get my mate who also played rugby, so just put one up high and I'll catch it. Because in Oztag, you're not normally allowed to bomb, so people weren't really expected of bombs. If you can do a drop kick up high, yeah. I don't know. A lot of people said the West Tigers shouldn't do short dropouts, but man, if you get good at them, they're 50-50. And at worst, especially you can't get penalised for them now, and at worst, it's a 10-minute play the ball. I was campaigning it before it was cool. I don't know if anyone's been listening long enough. I've been a short drop kick enthusiast, because I played a bit of rugby union and it's more common in that sport. But yeah, mate, I don't know. Get up there and knock it back and fucking win. Just win some. Like, why do we never seem to win a mass?
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those tricky things where it seems like it can go either way. I think there were a few teams last year that really started to do a good job of working out what their plan for the short dropout was and how to get the ball back. I think one of the teams that comes to mind last year in particular was the Cowboys, the way they would always try to – make sure they got someone up to bat the ball back to one of their teammates who, when they kicked it, they were like they were waiting basically close to back to the goal line, because most of the time the attacking or the other team isn't going to be that far. So your chances of getting it back are pretty good, even if you do run the risk a little bit of being tackled in the in goal. But on the other side, when they were the ones who were receiving the short dropout, they do the same thing. They just get someone to try and bat it back to probably about the 30-meter line. So they could have a player pick it up and have a bit of a run with it. And it seemed to work. And I thought maybe that's something we could try and look at. It's basically sort of what we did in this game, where Jareem was basically just waiting there for it to be knocked down to him. He took it and absolutely ran with it. And then, yeah, we just tried something a little bit different and kind of messed it up a little bit in the second attempt later on. And yeah, it didn't work out for us that time.
What I don't think I've seen anyone try yet. So in the NFL, they call it an onside kick. They try to end over end, which is very hard. They're place kicking it, so it's obviously not, it's much harder with the drop kick. But they basically make the ball roll and hope that it kicks up at the line and then try and bat it back. It's a wonder no one's really tried to kind of grub a drop kick it, hope that it, and then kind of as it's rolling, get in position at the 10-meter line and get up and bat it back as well. They're always trying to go high, like in this instance. Maybe try one low. If you're listening, Robbie Farah, Benji, you'd have that one on me. Try an onside kick style.
Well, Josh, you might actually remember we tried something sort of similar in Magic Round last year. I think it was Wakeham who kicked it. He kind of kicked it low and hard through a gap between the player, the Dragons players. It went out, I think, around the 15 to 20 meter line, or maybe just barely past the 10. And because it went out without them touching it after going past 10 meters, we got the ball back. You might remember that one. We were, when we were watching it,
I think so,
together. Yeah. It might be ringing a bell.
my flued up brain is not working well tonight. It's
People in the comments, let me know if you can remember the drop kick I'm talking about from, it was in the second half of Magic Round last year.
Last comment from Benji.
Yeah, well, firstly, you know, a lot of adversity today for us, and I was really proud of our boys in terms of effort. And the one thing that's non-negotiable in our team's effort, and we're not lacking that in any of our games, but what we are lacking is just moments in games where we seem to put pressure on ourselves, and instead of applying pressure to the other team, we make it hard for ourselves. The game was there for us today to win it, and we didn't.
Yeah, as the reshuffling, the hamstring sniper that's going around the NRL at the moment, when that change was Stafford and shuffle things around, yeah, it makes it hard.
Yeah, it really does. The fact that, yeah, there seems to be such a massive amount of hamstring injuries at the moment. I don't know if we should have bought Stafford back as soon as we did. Maybe we were kind of forced into it with injuries, and maybe there are a few players in Cup who Benji doesn't think are quite ready for the step up yet. That's possibly a reason why there, but yeah, the fact that Toa's going to have a little bit more time out with that hamstring now, it's a bit of a shame, really.
Any predictions for Teamless Tuesday tomorrow, Az? Obviously, there has to be changes. We don't really have a choice.
Yeah, it's really tough. I saw someone in the comments, in the YouTube comments, I think it was earlier, saying, please no Sullivan this week. And unfortunately for that person, Jaden is likely to be named this week because Latu probably still out for a little while with whatever his injury is. I think it might have been a hamstring as well. And then obviously Caesar is suspended for the next three games, which takes us past our second bye. So yeah, Jaden's going to have a few more games. It's really tough. I think maybe Seyfarth might come into the starting side for Isaiah. I don't know if I like that completely, but that is an option there. Kepoa may come back in for him. So there's a few options there. I see a lot of talk in the Discord about people wanting to give Jordan Miller a shot, like a 20-minute stint either side of half, totaling either side of halftime, which is an option there as well.
Super chat from Brendan. It's not an episode if we don't get a super chat from Brendan. He said, congrats on 1K, road to 2K now. On you, Brendan. Thanks for your support, man. Every single episode, pretty much. Righto, moving on. Sorry, Az, can you read the first comment? I need to, this is when my throat decided it needs to cough. So can you do the first one for me?
No worries. So Cam says, we had two players out for over 40 minutes. Second row is playing center against one of the best centers in the game and Bud filling in at half. We only lost by 6. This sucks, but we are back-to-back spoon winners. The guys didn't disgrace themselves or the jersey and Buller showed us what he can do. Just have to hold on for Luai and Taruva. They would have made all the difference today. I will say really quickly as well, we did talk about on Wednesday when we did our preview that Best was one of the players we were most concerned about. I think it might have actually been you, Josh, who said that Bradman Best was going to be one of the most dangerous players out there on the field, and he really proved what he's capable of and what he brings to that Knights team and why they're so good even without Ponga. You're still muted, Josh.
Thanks, Az. Yeah, he's a sensational player. I like him. Not when he's playing against my team, but yeah, I look forward to having him in the Blues side. Righto, Mitch said, yet another Tigers game we're accustomed to, showing real no direction in attack, falling off tackles and being too easy to defend against. Clem and Seafarth aren't first grade forwards. No punch to the game. Clem looks like he's jogging out there. Shows more aggression in ref decisions than his hit-ups. Aaron Woods 2.0. Bradman made Naden look like a schoolboy. His first hit-up contact was horrendous and was constantly hitting, as well as dropping numerous balls and going over the touchline. Bright points. Buller looked like getting back to his best. Showed real promise in attack and cleaned up well at the back. Bud Sullivan, I feel, played his best attacking game for us this year. However, also was beaten in defense on that edge. Time to blood some young guys. Lob City, Siano, Cerny, Fainu, Matamua. I can't expect different results if you run out the same team each week. As I think people have been pretty harsh on Clem, I think Clem's been better than people are rating him. Look, he's not lighting the world on fire, but I feel like he's doing a job.
I think the thing with Clem and Twal is that they're very similar when it comes to just being workhorses. They'll get in there, they'll put their heads down, they'll do the hard carries, they'll make the runs, they'll offload when they can, but you don't see anything too fancy or too stylish from them. And sometimes that is good, but sometimes it's not. I think in our case, I think people are noticing it a little bit more because we're struggling in the attack, and that seems to be the issue. But you need your forwards to be putting their heads down and doing the hard yards, and that is what those two in particular are both doing.
Another super chat from Shane Tremble. Thanks, man. Sending us $10 to say, keep the faith, Tigers Tragics. It was never going to happen this year, but we're making progress. Bring on 25. I know. Well, what are we, round 11 this week, and we're already looking forward to next year. Look, we were always kind of looking forward to 2025. Look, there's a long way to go, and just, yeah, I mean, similar to the comment there. If we can see some kids gel together and start looking good for the future, then that'll give us something at least. Tom Smith said, overall, considering Caesar's suspension and injuries during the game, it was a tough game, but the team did well, with most of the team playing out of position. In the end, the boys held on well. Defense for most of the game was solid, effectively defending on our own line for many at the time. Just need to get our attack over the line more. Having ice in 13 at the start looked excellent. Hope we can continue that for a few weeks. Bud has shown significant improvement with some good kicks, tackles and runs. Also, 2 try assists. Buller was a weapon in attack once again. Bonnells, Bay Tiger. These tries right on halftime are killing us. Shouldn't have played Stafford in the center with a combination of Naden and the Forbes. Ferrari started the click last week. Good run meters, but line speed and defense still an issue. Need to get up in offenses' faces, especially when trying to pin their own half. Yeah, a lot of people writing off Naden. I think Naden in the centers. I would still pick Naden in the centers. I know he had a shocker, but I think him and Ollum are our best centers at this point in time. Yeah. Teddy said, Feels like the last 2 years we're only allowed 4 wins per season. So now I've gone in thinking we're only getting 2 more just for those two. Hope you're wrong, Teddy. I hope you're wrong, but it's not feeling good. Nathan said, I think I speak for the majority of us when I say this. Sullivan surprised me and outdid himself today. However, Nathan was extremely underwhelming. We need more depth off the bench, some impact forwards. We have so much flair between Buller, Appy, Galvin, Ollum, Staines. We just can't get ourselves in the right field position to actually activate them. We need to play to our strengths and play using the whole field, not just the middle. We have a great pack, but when we start making subs, it just goes to shit. Shane Tremble, play it to the sin bin. We conceded 2 tries due to lousy edge defense and 1 more thanks to yet another disastrous short kickoff. When will we learn? I think Shane actually replied, commented in the YouTube before, on the YouTube stream before, when we were talking about it as well. That said, we were in it up until the last couple of minutes, despite a stupid sin bin and a third of the team playing out of position due to Bateman and Toa's injuries. I know the losses are gutting, but we're miles ahead of where we were last year, keep the faith. Yeah, we didn't really touch about Johnny Bateman's injury too, as like we just can't take a trick at the moment.
No, it's one of those unfortunate ones. And the thing is, because it's a pec, depending on whether it's a strain or a tear / rupture is really going to determine whether or not we get him back this year. I really hope we do get him back because I feel like he still is in our best 17. But that only happens if he's only strained his pec. Because I think there was another player in the comp over the weekend who actually did rupture their pec. I think it might have been one of the Titans, one of the 4 Titans players that went down, and they're out for the season now. So yeah, if it's a strain, I think he might be able to come back in 2 to 4 weeks possibly. But yeah, if it's a rupture, his season's done.
Adam Reynolds, he's pecked, didn't he? Was that last week?
That might have been the week before. I'm pretty sure there was a Titans player that did a peck.
Shen said, like every other week, we struggle to score points and poor discipline let us down. Honestly think Lockie Galvin needs to spend time in reserve grade. If you have things that we disagree with, I will bring them up so I can tell you why I think you're wrong. But she said, I think Shen, I'm not sure if Shan, let me know, Shan, how to pronounce your name properly. He's proven he has skill, but I think he lacks confidence which is a big reason we can't score points. No way. Lockie's not going to cup. I think he's been, been solid enough that you don't drop him. And I don't think he will ever play second grade. What do you reckon, Oz?
He might need a little bit of a break from the physicality of NRL. That may be the only concern I have about Lockie, because he is still a small body. And you'll see, if you look at the stats every week, he does a mountain of work. I think he made 20-odd tackles again this week and didn't miss any. So alongside the Great Wall of Twal, we seem to have the Great Wall of Lockie, which is really, really good. But in saying that, I think the physicality can get to some of these kids eventually if they play a little bit too long. Things can go a little bit pear-shaped from there.
Tips from last week. You and I has got 5 and Shane, so he's top of the Westlife podcast competition with the Patreon members. He shot up 6 with his tips. He tipped the Gold Coast. That was a big one for him at the end there. They absolutely carved up the Cowboys. So nice work, Shane.
Ended up getting 4, Josh.
Oh, did I get that one wrong? Okay.
I changed my Tigers tip. I changed my tip to the Tigers after Appy was confirmed to play. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to believe in the team. I reckon we can get the job done. And I paid the price for that one.
Yeah. Righto, let's talk about a couple of wins. So the Magpies won in New South Wales Cup. So I watched most of this one on the stream. I only learned this yesterday. Didn't even think, if anyone's got a Google powered or Android TV, there's a New South Wales TV app. So you can actually download an app on your TV to watch the Cup games if they're broadcasting it, which I did yesterday on the Chromecast. They looked really good, the Magpies in this one, and the Knights were in a bit of form coming into this game.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't actually watch this game because I was busy I was busy on a drive out to Campbelltown and back. I went to Campbelltown and back, so I completely missed
this game. They'll play to Lincoln. You went the wrong ground. No, they were really good in this one. Jordan Miller's try literally just barged over. He looks so good. I'm excited to see him play first grade one day. Yeah, they looked outclassed, the Knights, and I thought, okay, the Knights are low on the table. Yeah, but apparently the Knights were playing pretty well coming into this one. So it was nice to see a team song get sung, and our flag boys won. They're still in last position, but only one win behind the Roosters.
No, that's one point. They're on seven points. We're on six.
Ah, yep. So 1 point behind the Roosters. So come on, get off that spoon, Maggies. Jersey Flegg got the win before it as well. So 5-3, 26-16. I did not see this one, but the Flegg boys are in third position, or tied second with the Doggies. They lost to last week. Yeah, Bulldogs were last week. So yeah, 7-3, the Flegg boys. So looking good in the Jersey Flegg this year.
Nice little gap there as well with the Knights 3 points behind them. So looking good so far for the start for the Flegg boys.
Yeah. Super Chats, we're touched on the Super Chats, but shout out to our YouTube members, Shawnee M, D Trizzy, Mick Frizz, and Gussie Harris. So if you are watching the YouTube, you can subscribe and become a paid member, and I will let you into the Discord if you sign up. If you don't get the Patreon app, which you can do at patreon.com/Westlife. I do it every time to the guys, but we're running long. We'll save your rants and stuff from the Discord for Wednesday night's show, where we preview round. We're last game last year as well.
No, we were the first game on the Sunday, so game six.
I feel like when was it? We were last game.
The Cowboys game 2 years ago.
God, last 2 years is just blended in together. The last 3 years, really, just blended into one. Sunday again. So we'll preview that Wednesday night as taking on the Dolphins. So, yeah, let's put a bow on this episode. I'll apologize for my throat tonight. I definitely needed I had a few off-air coughs and blows of the nose. So apologies for my voice tonight for anyone. So shouts to the 50, 60 of you that stuck with us the whole way through. Hopefully my health is better. Hopefully the tech will be better. No promises on that one. I think my health will be more likely to be better Wednesday night. But join us again, 8:30 Wednesday night. As anything before we say goodnight to Big Dog?
Nope, nothing to add really. Just thanks to everyone for tuning in. Obviously, it would be nice to be talking about some wins, but they will be coming. And to everyone who tunes in while the team isn't winning, thank you very much. And looking forward to celebrating the wins with all of you when they do start coming.
Yep, who knows? Who knows when they're going to come, but they will. They will eventually. We say that every week. But as always, as we'll back the boys and go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife, and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.